They dropped off their suitcases in the rooms they'd been assigned in NIU's new residence hall, packed with everything they'd need for 3 nights away from home. They ate dinner together in the cafeteria, and then it was time to get to work.
Amy Zapata, teach in Elgin, live in Elgin, yada yada.
I'm Beverly Britton, I live in teach in Elgin.
About 60 teachers and administrators from the DeKalb and Elgin school districts introduced themselves to each other and the three professors who would guide them through social justice summer camp.
We will talk about race, we'll talk about socioeconomic class, we'll talk about gender, we'll talk about gender identity, we'll talk about disabilities, we'll talk about a wide range of identities and the ways in which those identities can be privileged and marginalized in different spaces.
It was Joseph Flynn's idea, and his College of Education colleagues James Cohen and Mike Mandarino enthusiastically signed on.
This isn't a let's sit around and bash white people for 4 days activity. That doesn't mean that various identities that are privileged won't be challenged, because they have to be, but that challenge comes with a lot of research and a lot of historical analysis, as well as a lot of best practices in how to deal with those issues in classrooms today.
But these are heavy subjects for children. Should teachers really be expected to talk about race, gender identity, and socioeconomics to kids?
It absolutely belongs at the K-12 level. We cannot keep assuming that just because a child is 6 or 7 or 10 years old that they don't understand what is happening to them in different spaces. Kids are very understanding of the notion of justice, and when we decide to withhold this kind of instruction from them and wait till talk about social justice issues when they're in college, the ship is pretty much sailed already.
James Cohen is a bilingual education professor. He says another important aspect to social justice camp is that it's not just classroom teachers attending. They brought along their school administrators.
So this is ideal, right? And they're spending their days literally from 8 o'clock in the morning to 10 o'clock at night, watching films, discussing, participating in group work. I mean, it's really quite wonderful.
Cohen says right from the camp start, he knew they would have to commit to continuing it.
This work is so important because there are so many families, students and their families, who don't have people advocating for them. And because they don't have the social or cultural capital or linguistic capital to be able to advocate for themselves, they need to have somebody advocating for them. And all of these educators here are going to be, if they haven't already, they are definitely going to be advocates for these families. And I think that's a beautiful thing.
Also a beautiful thing, the connections the teachers are making, even outside their own schools. Beatriz Maldonado is director of language acquisition in the Berwyn South School District. As the only representative from her district, she expected to feel awkward and alone until she was adopted by 4 teachers from Elgin.
And they saw me, I got here late, and they saw me and they said, oh, you know, do you want to come have dinner with us? Do you want to come and, come have breakfast with us? We'll sit at our table. So they really, you could tell the inclusive nature of the entire group because everybody has just been so inclusive. So I really appreciate that.
Yvette Gonzalez-Collins is a new principal in the Elgin School District and has high hopes for what she's learning.
I want to use this information in terms of taking it in back to my staff in providing support and be able to empower them with information of conversations that we've already established or started around social justice and looking at different ways of how we can support our students.
Joseph Flynn says these can be really uncomfortable discussions.
A lot of people struggle with talking about these issues because they don't want to upset people, they don't want to cause arguments, so on and so forth. And that's respectable. I mean, I can completely understand that. However, if we don't have the conversations, then nothing ever really gets identified, which means nothing can ever really get solved. And I know that there may be people out there who feel or who question what's the big deal? But if you're a kid in a classroom and you're having struggles that are based on your identity, that's a hard question to ask. You know, it's a pretty insensitive question to ask. So for folks out there that think that all this stuff is just a bunch of liberal hogwash, I can respect that, but I respectfully also say that you're absolutely wrong.
The camp isn't without its detractors. A number of conservative-leaning websites shared stories about it, with comments ranging from mockery to threats. That message was even more direct for James Cohen.
I got an email saying that I was just a typical white racist professor teaching teachers to be racist also. And obviously the person who emailed me that doesn't know what he's talking about, or she doesn't know what he's talking about. You know, how do we deal with these institutional and structural systems that are in place to favor certain people over others? How to make education more equitable? That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about individual racism, really. We're talking about institutional, structural racism. That's an issue. And if people don't want to buy into that, well, they have their head in the sand, to be frank.
Flynn says he wants the teachers to understand there's something more important than whether someone has made a racist or sexist remark. It's the follow-up.
Do you immediately turn to defense mode and try to explain why what you said wasn't what somebody interpreted it as, which is a dismissal of the ways in which other people hear what you're saying? You know, someone's telling you what you just said was offensive. All you really need to do is say, I'm sorry. I didn't mean for it to be that way. Thanks for letting me know. And that's how you diffuse those situations. And I think that's where a lot of our problems come in. People sometimes just can't be humble enough to say, I'm sorry. People want their concerns and their issues to be heard, recognized, and respected. It's that simple. And I think once you get into the habit of recognizing that idea, then it becomes that much easier to then hear other more complicated issues like Black Lives Matter. And Black Lives Matter isn't an attack on white folks or blue lives either. It's a statement about something unique in and of itself. And the next question shouldn't be, well, don't all lives matter? The next question should be, why do you say that? Can you help me understand that?
Social justice summer campers heard from education experts, activists, and colleagues. They watched and discussed powerful films together each night. They even had the tables flipped on them one afternoon and learned from high school students. Three members of DeKalb High School's Gay Straight Alliance told the teachers their stories, what it was like to be bullied, what it was like to feel alone and unsupported, and they gave them tips to help their own students. Leslie Calderon teaches fifth grade in Elgin.
The kids really in fifth grade really do probably know what they're talking about and where they're going with this. And so I guess I really just need to accept that they can make those decisions that early in their lifetime. Because I, as a mom, I don't want my kid, I didn't think I wanted my 10-year-old thinking about her sexuality or any of that stuff at 10 years old. But if it's really happening, then I have to be ready for that.
Calderon says the students were brave and honest and taught her that every student needs to be treated with respect. Beatriz Maldonado says she liked the way information was presented overall, especially for the film series.
The fact that they were in a casual setting, the fact that the content was so heavy, and the fact that we had the opportunity to debrief at the end was very powerful. I think that seeing those images, seeing historical pieces in context, definitely helped us learn and will help us retain and take things back to our districts.
For the final day of social justice summer camp, campers had to answer the question, now what are you going to do?
I'm ready to begin to have those courageous conversations.
Advocating, supporting our colleagues, and just being strong.
Silence is not an option.
DeKalb school district members huddled and brainstormed. They discussed yard signs, a film series, curriculum tune-ups, and mission statements. Tyler Elementary teacher Alvina Ivy says they'll support their students and their families to the best of their abilities.
Talking to our teacher friends, listening to each other, informal conversations, lunches, and also more formal conversations like professional development, book studies, any way we possibly can.
But does Ivy think all this time and effort's needed in the classroom?
Yes. Yes. And yes, it is the right thing. It's the ethical thing. It's the moral thing to do.
Professor and camp co-leader Mike Mandarino says campers are leaving wanting more.
This 3 days is like half a step to where I know that they want to go and where we want them to go. So a big takeaway for me is that we need a whole lot more of this. And that's why we need to think about writing grants. How do we scale it up? And I think that sometimes people assume, there's other pressing matters at the table for school districts to grapple with. And sometimes things like the budget tends to come to the forefront over, you know, perhaps teaching and learning. But I think it was very clear from this that this is at the forefront of teachers' minds and administrators' minds. And what we can do is continue to create spaces to have these dialogues. And so how do we think about not just thinking about this as a camp, but how do we support this then in September, October, February, to make sure that these forums and spaces are still available? Because people are hungry to talk about it, but oftentimes we don't always have that opportunity to talk about it because there's those other things tend to get pushed to the forefront.
Organizers James Cohen, Mike Mandarino, and Joseph Flynn are pretty sure there will be a social justice summer camp part two.
It's the communications, the camaraderie, it's the interacting together, the engaging of complex material. But in order to get to that, you really need to, and come up with solutions, you really need to have respect for each other.
These plans are going to evolve, they're going to change. They're going to bring them back and get new input from people, but that they've developed those core competencies to say, you know, we believe in this, and this is not some year-long initiative or something we think we can accomplish in 6 months. This is what we're committed to as a district.
And it's important for people who might be inclined to speak against social justice. Imagine what it would be like for you and your family if, for some odd reason, by no fault of your own, your child was treated unfairly in school day in and day out. Wouldn't you expect the teachers to be responsive? And these are the kinds of conversations we're having. And it's not at the expense of some kids. The practices that we promote are powerful practices for all kids.
Flynn says, above all, people need to remember that teachers play a role in our society with some strong obligations.
And there are legalities related to that role. So you personally may have a problem with the LGBT community, and you may have negative feelings about them, but if you're a teacher, you got to take care of that kid, whether you like it or not. And I think that's something that, you know, people out there really need to understand. It's not that this is all just trying to push a liberal agenda. Some of this is law. You know, it's our responsibility to take care of the children that come into our classes. And we can't teach them effectively if we're dismissing parts of who they are or not paying attention to when they're being bullied for various reasons or they don't have access to certain resources. We have to take care of that. So when we talk about social justice, we're not trying to make this a political issue. This is an educational and pedagogical issue. And if we don't attend to these ideas, then we're shortchanging your children all the way around.
I'm Susan Stevens, WNIJ News.